Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg says DOMA, the federal law that only recognizes opposite-sex marriages, reduces same-sex couples to skim milk status. Paul Clement, defending the law for a group of House Republicans, says it wouldn't be fair if legally married same-sex couples got federal benefits that couples in states without legal marriage don't get, so don't give them to any gay couples. Today, the Supreme Court is considering the aspect of the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, which denies federal benefits to legally married same-sex couples. A group of Republicans is defending the law because the Obama administration refuses to, after President Obama's change of heart in favor of gay marriage. Bill Clinton had one, too. He was a gay rights supporter and then 17 years ago quietly signed DOMA into law to win re-election. His wife Hillary, possible presidential contender in 2016, recently converted to support of same-sex marriage. We want to look at the relatively brief history of gay rights, but first the history being made in court. John Harwood covers politics for the New York Times and CNBC. John, we've already talked today about the debate over whether or not the court should even take this debate up. So what is jumping out at you about the actual arguments?
Well, it appears that there may be five justices willing to strike down DOMA. So if they do decide that they have the standing to take the case, According to judicial watchers who were inside listening to the arguments, who would count four liberal justices presumed to be in favor of striking it down, plus Anthony Kennedy, it looks as if they take it, the law will be knocked down. Now,
hold on a second, because you have to explain. I want to hear what you're hearing that leads you to that. But we've been taking pains to say that they're only looking at one portion of DOMA. This is the portion that allows these benefits to go to legally married couples. Right now it only allows them to opposite-sex couples. The Obama administration has already said they're not going to enact the part of the law that, for instance, could go after same-sex couples. But if they take that one federal benefits part out, if they say that, you know, if they strike that down, does that strike the whole law down?
Not clear.
Yeah.
But it does. People who know more about the nuances of the law than I do, including the SCOTUS blog, which is a very influential tracker of this, said their assessment based on the arguments is that it's 80% likely that the court strikes down DOMA, with Justice Kennedy saying he believes it violates states' rights, and four other liberal justices agreeing with that point. Now,
we
have to say everybody's been burned. Some people thought that the court was going to strike down the Obama health care law, and they didn't, so caution has to be expressed. But it does, if you put the 2 days in their totality together, it appears that the biggest question before the court is how quickly and expansively to rule. But there's no suggestion that they're going to do anything that would reverse marriage rights. So that in the Prop 8 case yesterday, it seems that the minimum they would do is stay out of it and let the appeals court ruling stand that struck down Prop 8. And in the DOMA case, you did have Justice Roberts suggesting that the administration simply not enforce the law, which would involve, not having the Internal Revenue Service collect the estate taxes that Edie Windsor had to pay. But the latter parts of the argument seem to persuade court watchers that they're likely to strike it down.
And we know that the Solicitor General, Donald Verrilli, who's making the Obama administration's case against DOMA, you know, began his talk by giving an example of a slain soldier's spouse who was denied survivor's benefits because he was of the wrong sex. So some emotion playing out there. But given, you know, whatever shifts there might come, the fact that these cases are before the Supreme Court, you've written a terrific piece about just how relatively new the gay rights movement is compared to, you know, the women's movement or, the civil rights movement for blacks. You know, maybe 50 years since the Stonewall uprising in New York. Just remind us a little bit about, you know, your thoughts on, you know, if you are gay and had been closeted for decades, it's not that quick, but relatively it is.
It's astonishingly fast in the political life of the country. As you said, Robin, the fight for African-American rights has gone on since the nation was born. The same is true in one way or the other of women's rights, but gays were different because there was such a strong societal belief existing in the country that homosexuality was wrong, was a mental disorder, as the American Psychiatric Association opined in the mid-1950s in post-war America. And it was only the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s that began to have people see it in a different light and began to have more and more gay and lesbian men and women coming out. And as that happened, you saw a little trickle of change. You saw George McGovern in 1972 permitting two gay speakers at his convention. You saw President Carter, even as he was rallying evangelical Christian support, take a stance of non-discrimination. Even Ronald Reagan in 1978, when there was an initiative in California that would have barred homosexuals from serving as teachers in California public schools, he helped defeat that. You had the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s, which brought the issue to the fore, got more people coming out, even as the administration, Ronald Reagan was president at that time, was indifferent and inactive on AIDS.
Yeah. Refused to even say the word, as many would say.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But then that's when you really started to see the tide turn in Congress. And Barney Frank told me that there were many allies, private allies, who would say to him, I can't vote for you on something symbolic, but if it involves life and death, I guess I will. And to me, the most remarkable thing Barney Frank told me is he said, when I was a young man, I recognized that I was attracted to men personally and professionally attracted to government, and I thought the former would get in the way of the latter. At this point, he said, I think my attraction to men is more politically acceptable than my attraction to government, which is a remarkable statement about political change.
Well, John Harwood, I have to, in the minute we have, share the story that I sometimes tell, that Barney Frank and I used to double date. He would be with Kathleen Sullivan, who went on to become Kathleen Aliota, marrying the mayor of San Francisco. I would be with Kathleen's baby brother, Patrick. And as when I said that at a function here once, Barney said, yeah, and today I'd switch. And it got a huge laugh, which is unimaginable back then. John Harwood, we'll link you to his article on the sea change in the gay rights movement. John, of course, who covers politics for the New York Times and CNBC, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Okay, I'll take a quick break. Be right back here and now.